Fighters, we're back with another episode of The Sales Show, and today's episode is a continuation of 10 common mistakes that contractors make in the sales process. Steve and I talked in the last episode, numbers 1 through 5, today is 6 through 10, and I think if you're paying attention and you apply yourself to some of these things and commit to practicing and some of the things we talk about, guys, you're going to see your sales game turn around in a big way, in a hurry as well. So appreciate you all. Don't forget to share this with another contractor and give us a rating, give us a review, subscribe to the show, all that good stuff. Appreciate you guys. And without further ado, here's 6 through 10. Fighters, welcome to the Contractor Fight Podcast. And just like every other Tuesday, today we're going to dig into the topic of sales. We're going to talk all things communication, sales, money mindset, how your brain should approach the sales game, and some other cool actions for you to take consistently that will move the sales needle. Appreciate you guys being here. Give us a review. Share this episode with another contractor that you know could use it. And without further ado, let's talk about sales. Number 6. Focusing on your reasons instead of their reasons. Oh, boy.
Now,
Steve, listen, you know, we're certified by blah, blah, blah. And we went to the manufacturer training and we won this one award and we were business of the year in the town. And we don't use any subcontractors, Steve. We train our guys every week and we do quality work. We actually only use the best materials that are available. And one other thing that a lot of people are really, really fired up about when they work with us, Steve, is we honor our commitments. Like if we say we're going to start on a Monday and finish on a Thursday, that's what happens because we never break those promises. Guys, are you sick of Steve's looking at me and just smiling, going, this is so painful.
When the hell is this guy going to talk about me? When's he going to talk about my project?
Yep.
I don't give a shit about all those things. I mean, so, dude, I assume everybody has all those things.
Last summer, we had a trade come in and look at some things in our house here. And when the sales guy left, the queen looks at me and she says, literally, she goes, well, I know about his daughter and her sport and his car and this. And then she rattled off like 8 things. And then she looks at me and she sarcastically smiles and go, and he doesn't know a fucking thing about me. And she was pissed. Guys, that's what you're doing when you go out there. And you're just trying to, you're insecure is what it is about. You want to get the job and your insecurity is causing you to go, look how great we are.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
Steve, what's the number one topic somebody wants to talk about?
Themselves. Period. Yes.
What would that sound like for those that are not keeping up with us right now?
Well, you ask them a simple question and yep. You shut your mouth and you let them talk and they'll talk about what they want to talk about.
Hey, Steve, what would make this the best experience you've ever had with a contractor? Shut your mouth.
Okay. And shut your mouth.
Steve, earlier you mentioned that you got, you know, 3 or 4 bids on this over the past couple months. I'm just curious, you know, what are you hoping to hear from me today?
That is a perfect line. And shut your mouth.
Yep.
So you need to just focus on them. Literally, you need to listen to what they actually say and then repeat back what they say. And maybe even in the form of an additional leading question. Yeah. Like if they say, well, you know, my house is, it's really like the ugly one on the block. You know, I'm like, whoa, tell me more about how ugly is it? That's the question I'm going
to
ask.
Like, Steve, if your house were a chick, what are we talking here on a scale of 1 to 10? How ugly is she?
Yeah. Right. or even here's a great one. Well, you know, on a scale from 1 to 10, 10 being like you're going to paint your house. Where are you on that scale?
Mm-hmm.
Little simple questions to which we have a couple of hundred of, actually,
yeah,
that you can ask people. And if you shut your mouth, they'll tell you. And you know what? And you say, Steve, I'm at an 8. You know what my next question is? How do I get you to 10?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll literally give you the answer to which you just got to do to get them to a 10 and get the job.
Yeah,
About talking about yourself.
Yep.
You'll never get. Well, Steve, if you could do this and this, I think I'd be at a 10. I'm like, okay, I'll do that and that. Now where are you at?
Guys, this one point here about their reasons, when you connect with those reasons, this is how you are able to sell your projects. If somebody's at a grand, this is why you're selling the same client, you know, for $3,000. This is why people will pay 20, 30, 50, 100% more on occasion to go with your company, because they feel heard, understood. There's a connection. All right. And I can't underestimate, like, I think all of these 10 things that we're going over are solid. But if you don't really know what someone's motive is, that's what we call the motive, their reasons, you're like pushing a big ass rock up a really steep hill, man.
you know, and here's the ultimate question. After you get the job, complete the project, I always ask the homeowner, I'd like to know why you picked me, and let them sound off. And almost always it was like, you listened to me, you heard me, you got my vision. And I'm thinking, a lot of times I never really even talk about a pond at all. We talk about Aunt Millie, your dog that died, this and that and the other thing. We never really talk much about the project, except for the one sentence where I said, well, you know, for 30 grand, I can make all those problems go away. Mm-hmm. That's as technical as I get.
Yeah.
See, technically, they don't care if you're using what style paint on your house. They probably care about color and things like that. But you ask them, what is important to you? And then you make that shit happen.
And guys, these reasons of theirs are rarely technical, by the way. It's things like, don't scratch my hardwood floors. Don't destroy that bush next to the house. It's been transplanted from freaking Italy or whatever. You know, like, it's all this crazy. Don't wake up my babies when they're napping. Okay. When you can really dig into those reasons, their reasons, and not that our reasons aren't important from time to time, guys. Sometimes people, I've literally said it when I'm trying to get something out of people, Steve, and they're like, not giving me anything. I'll be like, well, Steve, listen, I could tell you about, you know, how we train our employees. I could tell you about this and, you know, warranties and blah, blah, blah. What would be most helpful here for us to talk about for a few minutes? What kind of questions do you have for me? Sometimes I've just pulled that out because, yes, I want to make the case that we were trained and we're background checked and we're not a bunch of knuckleheads and things like that. Those things are important, guys, but they're never as important as the prospect or the client's reasons.
So, Tom, I'd like to give everybody a pro tip right now. These are upper echelon things to do. When I want to inject my opinion, like at that time, like, I just want to go, you dumb motherfucker, this is the type of paint you need on your house, period. I've been around all these years. I don't say it like that, but I say it like, I go third party. I say it like this. I go, well, Tom, would you like me to share with you what other customers in your exact shoes often do?
Well, yes.
They go with this. Yeah. They step up to the paint quality. They do. In other words, it's not my opinion. It's other people just like you. Yep. To which Tom's going, sure, I want to hear what other people just like me think. You know? So that's a way to get across your message without being your message.
Social proof, guys. Okay. All right. Number seven. We got four more here. No or inconsistent sales training. Let me start with this one.
Guys, the difference between a pro and an amateur, Tom, is what?
Training.
Yeah.
Practice. You go to the gun range, you shoot the free throws, you hit the driving range. Steve, I think this is fundamentally one of the biggest problems of contractors in general, is they don't embrace the fact that once you start a business, your number one job is to sell, period. If you don't sell, you don't have a business. You have no projects to produce and all this. A lot of guys are like, I'm a contractor, then I have to do these estimates. You guys, flip it. Okay. I'm a sales professional that happens to run a contracting business, a painting business, whatever. And if I'm going to call myself a professional, I'm going to train. Brad Lee, he's got podcasts and stuff. You don't know who he is, guys. He's big into training and this and that with a software platform that he has. And Steve, he says, training is not something you did. It's something you do. And a lot of people are like, oh yeah, I got training. You know, we were talking about golf this past weekend and about you having to change your grip and all that shit many years ago. Not that you're a golfer now, but you were like, if you took one or two golf lessons for a day and then went on trying to golf, it would make no sense, right? You couldn't, it's like, I'm full of shit. I had training, but it doesn't mean, I guess what I'm trying to say is sales and many of these other skills are perishable. If you don't keep up on them, they get worse. They go away. All right, guys, you always have to be pushing the edge, getting better with sales training.
I heard a stat the other day, Tom, you may know better than me. This is one of these high powered sales gurus. He said, made a statement that only 4% of all salespeople have actual sales training, formal sales training, 4%.
Yeah, it's something crazy like that. And that article I was looking for earlier that I can't find now, it was here. Actually, oh, I just found it on my phone. Hold on. Let me read this to you guys real quick. A couple quick stats. The ROI for sales training is about 353%. So for every dollar a company spends on training, it receives back just under $5. A company can improve win rates by as much as 29% with effective coaching and training. And I can go on and on, but guys, if you're not training, you're getting worse. It's that simple. All right. And that requires a bit of humility, Steve, right? I mean, you know the way we do our role plays and shit. And I think the other day, I wasn't on the call, but Tim, somebody was role playing, and Tim, one of our sales coaches, had enough. He's like, all right, this is terrible. I'm done. I am not going to let you continue down this road. Guys, that requires a degree of humility on your part to put yourself out there like that. But the results, the ROI on the other end of it, is you're better, because that humility means that you're open to learning a new way. You're opening up yourself to learn new tools and methods and ways to listen and all these things that we've been talking about. You know, and I just see so many people, Steve, they're like, well, I had all that training 10 years ago when I sold cars. You know, I heard that from a guy not too long ago who's selling remodeling projects or something. Oh, I had all that when I sold cars. I'm like, okay, well, what does that have to do with today? Like, yeah, I don't know. I went to a personal trainer 18 years ago, and look at you now, you're fat, right? Like, it's, did you no good? Because you got to keep it up. You got to be humble.
So just to give him a stat, As you know, before I went to formal sales training, I was closing 23% in the backyard. In other words, 3/4 of the people were kicking me out, giving me nothing. Mm-hmm. And as soon as with that training, I formulated the 5 steps of the Shin Fu, and I started role playing, like practicing it. As soon as I started doing that, the religious training, then when I went out into the field, I met immediately from 23% to 94% closure rate in my very first year. The second year, 95% closure rate. And then the last 4 years in business, I closed 100%. 4 years in a row, I got a deposit check every single time. And all that was developing my process and practicing my process. And the practicing my process was literally doing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pretend conversations with other people, just like yourself. Tom, would you pay a customer? Be a pain in the ass customer. You put me through the paces and I'm trying to sell you a pond. I practice on other contractors. We role play back and forth. So as soon as I started this formal practicing and training daily, I went from 23 to 100%. So that's fourfold overnight.
That's not bad.
And you know, it's not something you've done, it's something you do. We are always going to be learning, period. I was already a multimillionaire many times over. I didn't need more sales, but I had a personal goal to break the $1 million mark. And I'm like, I'm the guy that's stopping us, my shitty sales, whatever I'm doing. I'm only closing 23%, tracking numbers, by the way. I got to do something. So I didn't need the money, but I needed to be better. And because it started working for me, this is when you and I actually started this whole thing.
Yeah.
Sales.
Yep.
Because I finally had something I was proud of that I could actually sell now. Because I am a sales assassin now. Before, it was just winging it. It was just throwing the darts up and hope like hell I hit the goddamn bullseye. That was it. Now the bullseye is mine every time.
Yeah, you own that thing now, man. Fighters, I want to let you know about a new group that we have on Facebook. It's called Contractor Sales Pros. You just go to Facebook and type in Contractor Sales Pros. You'll run into it there, and you can go ahead and request access to it. This group is for current sales professionals in the construction industry. Listen, guys, this is a place that you can ask questions, share strategies, and best practices to help each other get better as salespeople in this industry. And I want to invite you to be a part of that, be part of the conversation that we have going on there. So to go to Facebook, contractor sales pros and jump in with a bunch of other cool people. You guys rock. All right. Number eight, Steve, this one's called a big mistake salespeople make is defending. So let's role play what that sounds like. So Steve, you know, that your price is like $5,000-$6,000 more expensive than all the other ones I've gotten.
Yeah, but we have a lot of insurance, Tom, and I train all my people. And, you know, we have the nice uniforms and have you seen our trucks and all the logos we put all over that and our website and come out to our offices. I mean, we have a lot of overhead over here. So all this shit coming out of my mouth is because I'm insecure. Yep. And I don't with myself and my business, and they can smell it. This is no different than the person you go to a party and you meet a person and they just won't shut the fuck up. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because they don't have enough self-confidence within themselves to actually ask a question and hear a response. They need to fill the air so you don't find out they're actually stupid. And inside, they feel stupid, and so they keep yakking away.
Yep. This is where training comes in, right? Since we just talked about training, like, we'll have people on these role play calls that we do, and they'll do exactly what Steve just did there. He'll defend. And we'll call a timeout on the call and we'll point it out. We'll go, all right, here's how it should go. This is what you're doing. You're trying to justify your higher price and defend it. And you're making it, again, all about you or whatever the case may be in that thing, you guys. It's not come easy for any of us, okay? And you have to practice.
So let me give you today's response would be more like, instead of defending myself, if you go, Steve, your price is, you know, $15,000 higher, then Tom, I wonder why that is. Jeez.
I don't know, Steve, but I mean, I've talked to four companies and 25% of them, which would be you, is way out of line with all three other companies.
So the other three companies, they called you back and gave you numbers already?
No, they all came out to the house and they're all within a couple $1,000s of each other for the project.
Okay. Did you like any one of them? Does one of them stand out? Like, I think I could go with that person.
I think one of them's good. You know, he was the first guy, and I got some other bids just to kind of keep them honest, you know, and here we are. And I just think, you know, your number's just way out of whack.
Well, so it sounds like you got your man. So, you know, Tom, I think you should just go with him. If you feel good about him and he's got a better price than me, just go with him.
Well, I just don't understand why you're so much more money, though, Steve.
Have you read our reviews compared to theirs? Is it all the same, or is there any differentiation?
I mean, you seem to have some pretty good ones. They had a couple negative ones, but I suppose that's expected if you do a lot of work.
I realize we're just not for everybody, Tom, but I think you should go with this other person because you seem pretty comfortable with that.
So are you saying you don't want the job?
I mean, no, I'd love to have the job.
Normally I would think somebody would fight for the work. You know, it seems like you don't even want it.
Well, I can't fight about the number. I can fight about everything else, but the number is not going to change. Should I be fighting? Should I be fighting right now if I'm not going to change my number?
No, I've been in sales for a lot of years, Steve, and you know, and I don't go down without a fight, but I suppose you're right. I'll just reach out to one of these other guys and we'll go with them. So appreciate your time.
If it doesn't work out though, you know how to get me.
There you go. See you guys. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm not afraid to let you go. I just know that I was a bit stern right there, but I mean, I just know if it's going to be a money thing, if only coming down to the money, I ain't never going to get the job. Because that's not for me.
Yeah. And guys, what I want you to hear in all of this stuff, and I think we do this, it's funny because we're called the contractor fight, but I'm not somebody that's necessarily going to fight to convince you to buy from me. Do you know what I mean by that, Steve? Like, I'm going to fight in the sense of asking great questions and trying to add value and open some conversation up and to build some trust and stuff. That's the fight to me. Right. But so many salespeople, Steve, and you've been around long enough to see a lot of these boiler room sales training programs and stuff where it's all about, you know, pressuring people to make a decision and buy, and well, we got a money back guarantee and all this other bullshit if you sign today. Like, we don't play those games, and I just think it serves us well. And so, again, like I said earlier, I can't make anybody do anything. All I can do is control me. And who knows, maybe, and this has happened, I know this happened to you quite a bit, it happened to me, that one company they want to go with isn't returning their calls now, because sometimes they realize, fuck, I underbid that thing, and they blow the guy off and they don't call him back, or he's unreliable and the people get cold feet about going with him because maybe the conversation they had with you and how they felt heard. So I always try to just end things like you did, Steve, on a good note. You know, like, hey, I get it. We're not always a good fit. If you ever want to pick the conversation back up, I'm happy to do that. You know, let me know how I can help you.
So the sun and the wind were having a conversation, and down below walking on the street was a man. And they were having a little bet, a wager, the sun and the wind, and said, you know, who could get that guy to take his coat off first wins the contest. The wind says, oh, I could do that in a second. I'll go first. And the wind just blew and blew and blew. And the harder the wind blew, the more the man held onto his coat. And that goddamn wind could not get that coat off for nothing. So he said, okay, you give it a shot, son. So the sun just heated up. The man got hot, took his own coat off. Like, it took 1 minute. And the point is, you're not going to force anybody to do anything. You're not going to sell anybody anything. They have to actually arrive at that decision that they want what they want when they want it. And that's it. Your job is to create a path to allow them to accept you as you are.
Drop the mic on that shit right there.
That was a good fable, man. That was from my childhood.
Did you make that up just now, or you heard that
before? No, I know it from childhood, but as soon as you started talking, I'd never heard that before. No, as soon as you started talking, I'm like, that's the fable that I didn't understand that my mom was telling me when I was five.
You know, Steve, two bulls were standing up on a
hillside. I know that one.
All right, number nine, going technical.
I was a young bull when I heard that the first time. Yeah, now me too. I'm the old bull.
So number nine, going technical, you guys. Let's fly through this one because I want to spend more time on number 10. Guys, going technicals like this, you know, well, Steve, we're going to come in, we're going to use a half inch woven nap to roll the walls out. And when we spray the doors, we're using a 210 fine finish tip and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Guys, we go technical because we're insecure because you haven't done sales training. Okay. If you catch yourself going tech, like, people are blown away when they come on our role play calls, Steve, and Coliseum night and stuff. And they're like, well, you didn't ask about what kind of paint they wanted to use. You didn't ask about this. You guys did. And we're like, yeah, that's not important yet. Right now, it's about their motive. It's about, you know, can I even help you with your problem? And that technical stuff, that's easy. Dan, one of our sales coaches, literally on his sales calls, he will get on the phone and he'll say, Steve, have you been to my website?
Sure.
Okay, good answer. and he'll go, so if you poked around on my website and you looked around, you know, quick yes or no question here. Does it look like we know how to paint?
Yeah. Yeah. He'll definitely know how to paint.
Yeah. He's like, okay. So would it make sense for us to not talk about some of that technical stuff right now and just really talk about some of the things that are really important to you for your project? And I ask you a few questions just to see if I can even help you with what you want to do. Guys, it totally disarms the technical conversation. Now, Dan does it a little differently. I went through it really quick there. But guys, if you're catching yourself going technical, you're screwing yourself. Unless they want to go technical, right? Because sometimes they do. You get that engineer type and this and that, and they want to know which side of the street you're going to fucking park on and exactly what minute of the day you're going to pull up, you know, and things like that. And that's fine. And you can have those conversations. All right.
Easy way to do that, by the way, is just say, Tom, I can bore you to death with all the technical stuff that goes on.
Yep.
Do you want me to go down that road or do you want to skip that?
Oh, hell no, Steve. I just want my house painted.
Yeah. So you ask them permission to which way they want to go. And I'll tell you, 9 out of 10 of them, they don't want to know any technical shit.
Nope.
They just want their pain to go away and the problem fixed.
Bingo. All right. Number 10, we'll bring it home with this. Pouncing. So we talk all the time here, guys, that when you're in the sales process, and this, guys, this could be a conversation with your wife, your kids, your employees, whatever. We always talk about peel, don't pounce, meaning peel back the onion or whatever you want to talk about it. The example I gave earlier on pouncing is, you know, oh, the last guy left a mess and you jump all over. We always clean things up and blah, 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 where peeling, Steve, might sound like what? So, Steve, you know, the last guy I hired, total mistake. I mean, they left a mess. We had to clean up every day after him. It was a total pain in the ass.
So can you tell me what mess they left behind so I don't do that myself?
Here's an electrician story that actually happened to me. Well, you know, they went around and they swapped out a bunch of outlets and stuff, Steve, and they just left dust under every outlet. You know, they were working, they just didn't clean that up. So I had to spend some time, you know, running around the house with a little vacuum. You know, would have taken like 3 seconds for them to vacuum that up or, you know, prevent it to begin with. And it just seemed like they just didn't care.
So I could tell you I'd do a better job cleaning it up, but what if I actually put that in writing that your house will be cleaned up to your satisfaction before final payment is made? Would that do it?
Well, that would certainly help, you know, because I don't need another to-do in my life. I have enough stuff to do.
Nope. I'll clean it up so you're happy. And until you're happy, you don't pay the final bill.
Sounds good. So guys, that's peeling. Okay. Another example, I just figured the best way to explain this is stories. I mentioned earlier, like I had a client who I said, we'll call her Mary. Mary, I said, what's the worst possible thing that could happen when you hire a painter to paint your house here? She says, she literally said, if you wake my twin babies up, I will kill you all. Okay. And I said, well, tell me more about that, because I'd rather not get dead. That's like a number one rule of life. And she said, we chuckled a little, and she says, the only time my twins sleep is between like 1 and 2:30 PM. It's like a 90-minute window. And if I need to, they're up all night. Like that was her thing, Steve. And pouncing would have been, well, you know, Mary, we won't wake them up and we'll be really quiet. We'll this and we'll that. I instead peeled it back. I said, well, Mary, that's not surprising. I mean, you got twins and I got some kids too. And I know my daughter, she was a terror for the first few years of sleeping. And so I get it. I said, would it make sense if we just adjusted our start time so that our lunch would start a few minutes before, you know, whenever your kids go down? And I noticed there's a park down the street. We'll just go off site and I'll extend the lunch to a 90-minute lunch or whenever you text me, and we'll do some company training and we'll have lunch down there. Would that help out? What do you think happened to that, Steve?
Yeah, I think you got the job.
You're damn right I got the job. And I was like twice as much as everybody else, you guys. All right. And we just, again, we peeled it back. All right. Instead of blowing a bunch of smoke, how we're going to be quiet, we asked a question. Hey, what would happen if we were to do this, Steve? Or, hey, tell me more about that. Or, you know, I mean, there's hundreds of these that we could go down. Guys, if you're pouncing, you're losing.
Pouncing is like fighting. It feels like a fight, you know, and the people's hair on the back of their neck stands up, they get in fight mode themselves, you know, and it's just a shitty way to try to sell.
Well, covered a lot. We went like an hour. We go like an hour today, pretty close to an hour. Damn. I just had this sinking feeling I didn't hit record, but it looks like I did. So, so guys, appreciate you hanging with us here today. Implement some of this stuff. Hit the link in the show notes and just go to our website, go to thecontractorfight.com. And I want you to go to events and check out under events. We have what we call our Coliseum night. So if you want to start dipping your toe into the practicing world and role play and hear how this stuff actually works in action and whether you want to just listen in, what do you want to unmute yourself and role play? We actually break up the live training into different Zoom rooms based on kind of your trade. So you're role playing with like trades, which is really powerful. So make the commitment to get better. Make sure that you see yourself as a salesperson first, and good things will happen. And that's what I got. How about you, Steve? How do you want to wrap this up?
Yeah. You know what? Without sales, you got nothing.
Yep.
So that's the number one thing you got to tackle in your life, sales. And you got to be professional about it and practice. I mean, all the 10 things we just talked about. And until you get that serious about all those things, you'll never achieve what you want to.
Good stuff. Guys, give us a rating. Give us a review. Appreciate you being here. Share this with another contractor. And we will catch you all next time.
Oh, have a good week.